Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Philip Delves Broughton is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, soon to be old friend. He is. He was a very successful journalist for a number of years, and for some reason decided that he wanted to get an MBA, a business degree. And he decided he wanted to do that at Harvard, and he did. He went and spent 2 years in residence at Harvard Business School. He learned a lot of stuff, and when he was leaving, he said, "They said we hope you will come back and continue to share your ideas on your experiences here." And so he took that to heart, and he wrote a book about it. And the book is called Ahead of the Curve: 2 years at Harvard Business School, and he's here to talk to us about what that hath wrought for him and what he thinks it hath wrought for the marketplace. Philip Broughton, welcome to the show.
Morning.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's done pretty well here, but it's done very well overseas as well. People seem to resonate with this in Japan and Korea and China. They seem to read this book, and Harvard, I think, is a fascination, and you know, the American business education is a fascination all over the world.
Well, global, Harvard is a global icon.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think people, and also, you know, the American way of doing business, it's been so successful for so long. I think wherever you go in the world, people want to know what the kind of secret sauce is and what makes things work, and people aren't, you know, blindly optimistic. They see its flaws and its successes, but they're fascinated and they want to know what's behind it.
Right, exactly. Well, there are certain things, if you've got a Harvard MBA, I mean, that's those two things sort of roll off the tongue. Harvard MBA is a pretty significant credential to have. I'm curious. I want you to tell the audience why you decided to leave a successful journalism career and spend 2 years in Harvard Business School, which is no cakewalk. I mean, you had to know that you were going to be thrown into the crucible.
Sure. As you said, you know, I was doing pretty well as a journalist. I had a great job. I was the Paris bureau chief for the Daily Telegraph, which is one of the biggest papers in the UK. I was married. My wife's an American. We had a little boy who was 2 years old. I just got to a point, I was 32 years old, and I was looking down the remaining 30 years of my career and thinking, first of all, newspapers were in trouble as an industry.
Right.
And I thought to myself, that's going to be 10 years of kind of misery. And I didn't want to go sit behind a desk in London, which was going to be my next job. And I really wanted control over my time and my financial future. I didn't think any company was going to take care of me or any government. I had to really take care of myself.
And this was what, around 2005 or so you were thinking this?
This is a little earlier than that. This was 03, 04. I applied in 03, attended in 04 to 06.
So you were, I just wanted to set the stage for the environment around you. This was coming into a time when economically things were getting pretty heady, weren't they?
Yeah, this was good times economically. But, you know, from my own perspective, Oddly, I didn't think about the cycle. I didn't think, you know, these are good times, bad times, whatever. I was looking at a 30, 40-year run.
Yeah.
And thinking, I really want some control and some knowledge of business to help me with the rest of my life. And it's not as though I was obsessed with, I was interested in business, but I wanted to do creative, interesting things and have enough knowledge of business not to go broke doing them. And that was really my mindset going.
Right. And so you had no sinister plan. This you didn't want to become a mole that would ultimately write a book and out the Harvard Business School. You went in for all the right reasons, didn't you?
It really wasn't. You know, I didn't get paid anything for this book until a year after I graduated. So, you know,
right.
I had to stump up the money to go, and it's expensive. You know, the tuition is
right.
$40,000 a year. You know, health insurance you have to pay. That was $12,000 for me and my family. It's an expensive business, and I would no way have done that if I didn't think it was going to be an important, useful thing for my life. I wasn't thinking about the book. In fact, I was thinking of really getting away from journalism and writing, and how I kind of came back to it. It's part of the story of the book, and what I found and what I saw when I was there, and what that left me thinking about what I wanted to do with my life is really the story of the book.
What did you, as you were introduced to Harvard Business School, at what point did it start looking, what part of it was like you thought it was going to be, and what part was not like you thought it was going to be?
Well, I think the part I thought it was going to be, I thought it would be a place that took itself very seriously, and that has, you know, that's a good and bad thing. You know, the good thing is you're paying a lot of money. It's an amazing facility. The professors are great. The schedule is great. The classes are great. And they take what they do very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The downside of it is that, you know, it takes itself a little too seriously. And so you're fed a lot of stuff that you just sort of, it bristled me as a journalist, as someone who wasn't from the business world, some of the language they use, some of the hype they give you. It just seems a little much. And that was what I found unappealing about it. But as I said, the good thing was...
But you'd already spent some time in the marketplace, so you were just a teeny tiny bit jaded, maybe a little bit of a jaundiced eye looking at some of these things. You weren't probably as easily influenced as some of the kids who maybe had never had a job before.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I wasn't someone who was going there simply to get that thing on my resume.
Right.
I wasn't going there to get the Harvard MBA, and I think a lot of people do. And for them, you know, it's easy to be dazzled because it is a dazzling kind of thing. I went there having given up a great job, putting up a lot of money, and really not knowing kind of what I was going to get out of it. So I did take it seriously. So, yeah, perhaps I was a little more questioning than a lot of people because I really wanted my value out of this. And so anything where I felt I wasn't getting value, I was getting a lot of hot air, it really did make me think.
Well, and a lot of people, and you pointed this out in the book, a lot of your classmates, their goal was to get not just a job, but as you say in the book, the right job. And
yeah.
your goals were different. So your goal was a lifelong learning type of thing, really, wasn't it?
It was, and, you know, and I don't want to sound pretentious about it, but I think that really was the mindset, and you know, as I went through the experience, that is how I felt. And I think the right job existed in within very narrow parameters. It was certain kinds of Wall Street, hedge fund, investment jobs that were wide open to you. They came with a large number of zeros after them. And what amazed me, interestingly, was, you know, you have these people go through Harvard Business School, and they kind of have every opportunity in the world to set their lives up how they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about work-life balance. You come out with something like that, you really have a chance to make your life how you want it, make the money you need and have the life you need. And what I saw was people just chasing a very narrow range of opportunities, given all the kinds of things one can do in business. There was a very narrow set of choices they were making.
But at Harvard, they really, as I understand what you wrote in the book, they really considered a degree there to allow you to be successful in many fields of endeavor, politics, whatever.
That was the theory, and the truth is that when people come out of it, they tend to go into a very narrow set of fields. After 30, 40 years, yes, you do see Harvard MBA
Stand
up in the White House, George W. Bush occupying the mayor of New York, Mike Bloomberg, Hank Paulson, the Treasury Secretary. But I'm telling you, but all of them, again, tend to come through Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
They come through a very narrow set. You get a very few who go and, you know, become more entrepreneurial or set up small businesses. That doesn't really happen so much.
When we come back... Hold on to that thought, Philip. When we come back, I want to ask Philip the big question. How much of our current financial crisis has been created by graduates of the Harvard School of Business? 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. The book is called Ahead of the Curve. Philip Delves Broughton is the author. Stay with us. You're not fine, money. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. We got lots of stuff there. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something you can read or listen to. You can ask questions. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can subscribe to my blog. We'll send you whatever we got there, just about everything that's there. You can have sent to you. We'll follow you home if you're busy person and you just want to get, you know what you want, and you want us to keep you posted on those things, we'll do that at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Philip Delves Broughton is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an Englishman living in America and has been now for a number of years. He's the author of Ahead of the Curve, 2 years at Harvard Business School. That's what we're talking about. Philip, by the way, tell the audience how we can find your book and how we can find you online.
Oh, I have my own blog, which is philipdelvesbroughton.com, which is rather a mouthful, and my book is at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Oddly, it's called different things in different countries. So in the UK, it's called What They Teach You at Harvard Business School, and in the US, it's Ahead of the Curve. So don't go buy two books if you're really just buy the one. It's the same thing.
Well, congratulations on having the book so successful around the world. I'm not surprised. It's an outstanding book. In one of the chapters... let's see. I'm trying to find which one. Toward the back of the book, you talk about. By the way, folks, he recounts his visits and relationships and perspectives on a number of different people that he meets. And one person that you talk to said Harvard Business School is a factory for unhappy people. What did he mean by that?
This was a friend of mine who's actually an African student at the school, and he found that it goes to this issue, you know, what is happiness? And happiness is certainly not the kind of life that Harvard Business School particularly sets you up for, and many people there are spoiled for choice. They have so many choices that they don't know what to do with their time. And what we saw there was just a lot of people who kind of agonized about what to do. They had, and this sounds like it's such a weird problem, and especially, you know, in hard times like this, but people presented with a lot of opportunity and a lot of financial opportunity just tie themselves in knots. And they worry about, you know, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? If I choose this golden opportunity...
They were feeling the competition, weren't they?
Yeah, they were feeling the competition. They didn't really understand their place in life. They were constantly comparing themselves to other people. And that, of course, is the death of happiness. And that's what one of our class speakers said.
Right.
If you end up comparing yourself to people all the time, you'll be miserable. And that's what a lot of people did there. And you didn't see a lot of happy people. You saw a lot of successful people. And a lot of the senior executives would come back and talk. They would say, you know, we had these wonderful business careers, but our personal lives were a mess and don't make the same mistakes as we did. And yet, when
they
saw people graduating, they were all going to the same careers, the same pursuit of financial wealth, knowing what the consequences would be. And it doesn't happen for everybody, but, you know, when you do certain kinds of work, you really do increase the odds of a kind of punishing personal life.
Well, especially, you know, the hours that are required and all that. I want to get to the question. And by the way, Philip, as I've said before, we're sort of like the Hotel California. You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. We're going to invite you back if you will. We want to get you back on the show another day to talk some more about this. Is there any connection between, in your mind, between the Harvard Business School, the philosophies they teach, the ethics that they teach and encourage, and just basically what you get out of that, out of the HBS, is there any connection between that and our current financial crisis?
Well, I think, you know, you look on the surface, there's a lot of names you can point to over the past year. President Bush, Hank Paulson, John Thane, Stan O'Neill, both at Merrill Lynch, across the financial universe, Harvard Business School graduates in positions of enormous power when all of this went down. And I think, you know, of course, these people were educated 20, 30 years ago, and you can't pin the blame on a school like that. But what I would say is that these schools, Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, they do encourage this notion that there is an elite business class in this country who have a set of interests and a way of thinking that are almost divorced from the way the rest of the business world.
And it's a community, isn't it?
It's a community. It's very tight. They compensate themselves in a way that makes sense to no one outside their circle. They act in a way that makes sense to them but really doesn't make sense to a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of people in this country who are doing industry, who are doing small business, who are doing things that really matter. And there are a lot of industries that are basically there to serve them or should be there to serve them, like the financial service industry. And somehow these parasites took over the beast on which they were feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the problem you see, the excessive financialization.
Well, see, I've said for a number of years before this meltdown, I said this, not really understanding completely what how to explain it exactly, but I have said for a long time that Wall Street was working at cross purposes with Main Street. Is that in a way what you're saying?
I think you're absolutely right, and I think you know, we need Wall Street, we need banks, you need them to allocate capital, to offer loans. But when they become the sole purpose in and of themselves, when they behave in an abusive way, and I don't use that term lightly, but I think they have behaved in an abusive way to the rest of the economy, it is enormously destructive. And I think you do have an elite class, and many of them do come out of business schools with this notion that they are born to rule. And it is pernicious and dangerous, I think. And that, I think, is the real...
Harvard isn't the only school in that group, but would you consider them to be the lead school?
I think they consider themselves the lead school. They are supposed to boy for business schools, and they put a target on themselves in that sense. They take a lot of credit when things are going well, so when things are going badly, I'm afraid they have to suck up the blame.
You have two sons. Would you send your sons to Harvard Business School?
If they wanted to go, I would not discourage them, but I would tell them this one thing, which is, you know, get out of it what you want. Don't get out of it what they're trying to shove down your throat.
Right.
And I think that's the main thing. You know,
would you encourage them not to go right out of college, but maybe to go spend a few years in the marketplace as you did?
I think the MBA should be divided into two. You should get a technical education when you're 21, 22, and then maybe go back when you're 40 and spend another year looking at the big picture and thinking about ethical issues. That's really what I think. The second year is wasted on people in their early 20s.
The book is called Ahead of the Curve in America, but other things in other countries. Philip, will you come back another day?
Definitely.
I've enjoyed having you here. See you next time. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.